six times that the Scriptures talks about this. These particular words. And there's many more times that it speaks, alludes to Christ coming back in a time that you know not when. So this is important for us to heed these words. This message that the Lord gave me is all about preparation. Being ready for that day. When does a thief come? A thief comes unexpectedly. When the owner of the residence knows not when. They're not going to come when everybody's in the living room, awake, waiting for him. He's going to come when he knows not when. Jesus has given us words that we can be ready. We must heed to these words because they are. These words are eternal life. We're not this is not a trifle thing as we've heard up to this point. These realities are eternal life or eternal death. The two main verses that we get this phrase from is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and 2 Peter chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians 5:1 it says, "But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you." There's no need for us, and I'm going to get into this a little deeper. There's no need for us to know the times, the seasons, the hours, the day of Christ's return. That's not the point. What's the point? To be ready.
Amen.
If we are ready and willing for that day, then it doesn't matter. But each and every one of us wants an anticipation for that day to come. Times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. Ye yourselves know perfectly, perfectly. We know this of a surety, that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child. And they shall, what? They shall not escape. No one is going to escape the day of the coming of the Lord. Everyone that has ever lived in this earth is going to be touched by this day, whether they're living now or they were the or were they of Abel, the first death, physical death in the world. Everyone from now until Abel is going to be touched by this time of the coming of the Lord. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness. No, we've been illuminated. Christ has come and shined. God has shined the light, the glorious light of Christ on our hearts.
Amen.
He has shown us of the times. He has given us, He's given us readiness, hasn't He? We are not in darkness that the day should overtake us as a thief. This day is not going to overtake God's children. Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. This is not a time of sleeping. This is a time of being awake. This is a time of prepared. The day of the battle is not the time to be prepared for that battle.
Amen.
The day of His coming is not the day that we prepare for His coming. The preparation is now. The preparation is here.
Amen.
2 Peter 3:9 tells us, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Now we see God's heart in this. God does not want one to perish, but all to come to repentance. He is not an angry God. He's not an austere husbandman. He created us. And that's why He has given us Christ. But some men do not have faith. Not all men have faith. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief. Will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that there are that therein shall be burned up. This tells me it's permanence. It's sudden, it's permanence, and it is not only worldwide, but creation-wide. The heavens are going to be rolled up as a scroll. The elements, all the elements will melt with a fervent heat. As we can see in these two passages, the main focus is that God's people must be ready. Amen. Our admonition is to be ready, to be looking, to be praying and hasting unto the day of our Lord's return. If the good man of the house knew the times the thief was going to break in, he would have prepared for the day. He would not have been, he would have been watching. See, we're watching. We're looking. Our focus is on things on high and not on things of the earth. Think about this. The things of the earth will dull our senses. The things of this earth will cloud our focus of Christ. When we think about things on this earth, then the things of Him grow strangely dim. And we lose our preparedness. We get comfortable in this world. We are preparing for the day right now. Our focus is on things on high, things above, and not on things of the earth. We are redeeming our, we are redeeming the time. Redeeming. Redeeming it for what? For His return. Our gaze is set above because our redemption draweth nigh. This coming will not take us as a surprise. It's not going to take us as a surprise. It's not going to overtake us, but it's going to be our reward. It's going to be a reward for the children of God who has prepared. This is going to be the return of our God. And we are going to rejoice in it. And it is going to be marvelous in our eyes. If our whole focus in this world is Christ, then He will not be a stranger when He returns. He will not take us unawares. In the days of Noah, remember, Christ talked about this. This is important. In the days of Noah, He prepared an ark for what? For an impending flood. For an impending destruction. And how did he know this? God told him. He was told by God. So we can see this loving God that we have in telling us of the impending doom, of the impending destruction. God warned Noah. We must look at Noah's faith in this. Up to this point, we have no record. We have no written record of precipitation of any form. But God told him to prepare. He told him to prepare an ark. So what did Noah do? He prepared. Amen. God told us He is coming as a thief in the night. And what has He told us to do? To prepare. So what do? We prepare. Amen. This is faith. In the days of Moses, prior to the day before the Exodus, the day before the Passover, the angel of death was going to come through. What did God tell the people to do? He told them to eat with haste. Had their loins girded, their staff in their hand. Why? There was going to be their delivery was coming. Amen. Their delivery was coming. That way they didn't have to go around through the closets and look for their stuff. They could be ready to go. This is faith.
Amen.
That second generation that was wandering through the wilderness, they was preparing, weren't they? They followed the cloud of smoke through the day and the pillar of fire at night. Why? Because that's where their North Star was, wasn't it? That was where God was. So they was following God. They prepared and endured for the joy that was set before them. This too was by faith. So this joy that we have in the coming of the Lord, this is going to enable us to endure. To endure the temptations in this world. To endure and overcome the trials that this life has given us. For the joy set before us, we are going to prepare. All through Scriptures we can read of God's people being prepared in that they were warned by God. They were warned by God so that they too were not caught in unawares. Think about it. If God wanted to destroy us, He wouldn't warn us. If God didn't love us, He wouldn't warn us.
Amen.
But because He loves us and because He wants to be our God and we to be His people, He has warned us.
Amen.
All of the plagues in Egypt were building up to a time of the children's exodus. Think about it. All that preparation. God told Moses in the beginning, you're going to bring them out. But we see the preparatory work of God in His people. He was doing this for the people's faith. I'm going to send flies. I'm going to send dust. I'm going to send boils. I'm going to send this. I'm going to do that. And what happened? All of that happened. People's faith was being built by what God had said. So now we, all these thousands of years later, can look back and say, here's the record. Here is the record. Here's the record that God had said He was going to do. So now I believe in my heart through faith that what God has promised, He is able to perform.
Amen.
And He has promised of the day of His Son's return.
Amen.
And I am assured that it's going to happen.
Amen.
These plagues just weren't for a dog and pony show. These plagues were to show God's sovereignty, God's rule, but also God's love on His people.
Amen.
All during the Scripture history, through Adam, Noah, Abraham, Moses, David, and so on, God has given His people record of what He is intending to do so that His people can be prepared. This takes great faith in what God has said and what He will do. The amount of preparation that we do is totally reliant on the faith that we have.
Amen.
If we have little faith, then we're going to prepare a little. But if our faith is great, then we are going to prepare abundantly.
Amen.
Because we're going to believe the record even the more. So how hard, how much, how diligent are we at being prepared, at preparing ourselves for this coming day? This is truly the sure mercies of God, preparing His people by His grace. He's preparing His people by His mercies. He is preparing His people for their deliverance, for their redemption. When I started looking into this passage, these passages, I had a hard time reckoning in my mind of relating Christ as a thief. I had a hard time because a thief has very, very negative connotations. And there's nothing negative in Christ, we know that. Mm-hmm. But I started thinking, I'm getting into a little bit more, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but I started thinking about it. A thief comes in and takes that which is not his, doesn't he? Christ is coming to take that which is His.
Amen.
He's coming back to redeem that which is His.
Amen.
So He is not a thief in the sense that He's taking something of someone else's. He's redeeming His own. in this thief analogy is just he's coming suddenly. He's not stealing something from someone. He's redeeming what was his. God is not an austere God in that he wants doom on his people. In fact, he wills that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. So God has prepared an ark. He has sent his son to redeem his people from their sins and prepare them for the forthcoming deliverance and redemption. In the days of Noah, God closed the door of the ark, didn't he? He did. Noah did all the preparation. God gave him the plans. God gave him the blueprints. But Noah built it. And when all the earthly preparations were done, the rain started coming. Noah, his family, and all the animals were in the ark. And I can just envision in my mind this loving God sealing up the door of this ark. He has sealed us in Christ. He has sealed us in the ark that he has prepared for us.
Amen.
And nothing in this world is going to touch us. Nothing is going to touch us in that day.
Amen.
Jesus said, overcome. Ye will overcome. Just as I have overcame, you too shall overcome. God has placed us in his Christ. The preparation of God's people has a part in their own participation. God's plan, God's redemption, God's deliverance is his salvation. Yes, it came from his own right arm. But we too, brethren, have a participation in this matter. God has given us a foundation of salvation through his Son, and it is through faith that we are desirous to build upon this foundation, which is that we are participating in his work. So as we are participating in God's work, as we are participating in this salvation that God has given us, we are building upon the foundation of Christ. We must remember that it is God which is working in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So if we try to come to God saying, haven't we done all this and haven't we done all that? We are actually doing this, but God is actually working this through us. It's by our faith. Our works are a manifestation of our faith.
Amen.
So it all goes back to faith. It all goes back to the preparation. The more faith, the more preparing, the more building upon God's foundation. If God, through his grace, hadn't warned Noah, Moses, or any others, they too would have been caught unawares. Noah would have floated away with the rest of them. They too would have perished. And if they hadn't prepared, think about this, if they hadn't prepared as the Lord willed, what would have happened? They would have floated away with the rest of them. They would have perished. Stand still. God told Moses, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. They stood still. God showed them the salvation. Walk ye in it. They had to walk on the dry ground of the Red Sea, didn't they? If they would have stayed on the other side, if they would not have walked into that salvation that God had prepared for them, they would have been killed by Pharaoh and his army. If Noah hadn't built that ark, he would have been destroyed with the rest. This day is going to be swifter than a weaver's shuttle, quicker than a twinkling of an eye. But be of good courage, my brethren. There is no reason to determine the times or the seasons in which our Lord will return. It is just that we are ready and hasting unto it. That's the important mark, that we are ready. This night will not catch the children of God unawares, because through faith we are waiting in gleeful anticipation of His return. Amen. Our faith must be such so that we can see afar off. That we can see afar off and embrace this time, so we can be persuaded of such things and confess that we are His bride. And we are waiting for the bridegroom to come and redeem us. Think about the 10 virgins. Talked about that the other day. 10 virgins. The 5 were what? Wise. Their vessels were full. Their garments, I could just imagine, spotless, ready. They were ready. They were waiting for the knock on the door. The bridegroom entered in. What happened? The door was shut. The door was shut. The 5 brides were ready and waiting for their bridegroom. He entered in. The 5 unwise brides, they were not ready. Their vessels, they needed oil. They were out in the marketplace or wherever they went to get their oil. They came back, and what happened? The door was shut.
Amen.
They were unprepared. We must be as those 5 wise brides. Have our vessels ready, full. Have our garments spotless, unwrinkled, ready for our bridegroom's return. So that the door will not be shut on us.
Amen.
So that Christ can enter in and sit down and sup with His bride. This thought must be on the forefronts of our mind.
Amen.
Every second. Christ could come back now. Christ could come back now. This day will not overtake us as a thief in the night, because Christ has come and illuminated us and who He is, but also who the Father is. The only reason now to be overtaken is because of unbelief. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not.
Amen.
So that the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. He's blinded. He's blinded the minds that believe not from the illumination that Christ has given, that God has given us through Christ. This day will surely come. People will be marrying and given in marriage. They'll be eating. They'll be drinking. They shall say, peace and safety. And then the trump will sound. And all eyes will see. For some, they will see their full redemption. And for others, they will cry for the rocks and mountains to fall upon them and hide them from Him that sitteth on the throne. For that great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Those who are able to stand are the ones who are waiting.
Amen.
Daily life will go on. Our normal day, it'll be like every other day. That trump will sound.
Amen.
We'll see Christ, what? Descending in the clouds with the hosts of His angels coming with Him.
Amen.
This day will be sudden. It's going to be sudden. Time. I thought about this. Time is an enemy. Time is an enemy to man. It is no respecter of persons.
Amen.
Time is the avenue in which sin works, and it is the catalyst for death and decay. It all comes by time. It dulls the senses of men, and it lulls men to sleep. Remember, God is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness. As time goes on, men fall asleep. It is when men are sleeping that the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. We must be caught. We must not be caught sleeping, but watching. In Revelation 16, it says, "Behold, I come as a thief." This is Jesus. "I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." Preparedness. Again, this is all in preparedness for the day of the Lord. We are watching and keeping our garments white and unspotted. In the book of Ezekiel, it speaks of a watchman on a wall, doesn't it? The watchman is watching for the enemy, and he is watching diligently for that enemy. If the watchman did not think that the enemy was coming, time would lull him to sleep, and the enemy would overtake him. That's why you don't hear many people talking about the coming of the Lord. Because time has lulled them to sleep, and they don't think about it. We must be diligent in watching and encouraging others to watch. We are preparing now for the time then. We are watching, we are praying, we are hastily awaiting our redemption from the Lord. But there will come a day. Mark, not my words, mark God's words. There is coming a day when the Lord's cup of wrath will be full. The day when He pours out His cup undiluted. His final judgment against sin, death, and the wicked one will be placed. The true thief, he comes to steal. He comes to kill, and he comes to destroy. When a thief breaks in, he takes that which is not his. He comes to do ill will. When Christ returns, he's not coming to take that which is not his. He is coming to redeem them, that which was once his. While we are in this world, we have the flesh to contend with. We do have sin to contend with. We have the things of this earth to contend with. When Adam sinned, there came a death. There came a separation from God because of sin. In this present age, we are with Christ, yes. But yet, we still have this flesh and we are still in this world. So yes, we are still separated from Christ. Wandering in this wilderness, Christ is coming back to redeem that which is His. We have been made in the likeness of His image. God has given us the breath of life. God has imparted in us Himself. When He returns, He is gathering up His bride, and she must be ready with her lamps filled and her garments unspotted. He is not coming back to steal, kill, and destroy. He is coming back in righteousness and true judgment and true justice. But yes, there will be a final destruction. The heavens shall pass away, and the elements will melt with a fervent heat. But we must remember why this must come to pass. This is demonstrating the severity of sin, that sin has impregnated itself within all of creation. So yes, this full purging is necessary. This is necessary. When He comes as a thief in the night, the final stroke will be placed upon hell and death. The final blow will be delivered to Satan. Sin and iniquity will be ultimately and finally purged. In this day, all will be made right. All will see the fullness and the holiness of God. We will be ushered into the kingdom of heaven, never to go out again, never to be tempted, never to have this flesh against us.
Amen.
And those who cried out for the rocks and mountains to fall upon them, their final end will be then too. Eternal separation from God. They're going to be cast into the lake of fire. Yes, these are hard words. But this is the seriousness that God has for his son. For the price that his son gave.
Amen.
When Christ came the first time, he did not come to judge, did he? But he came to divide. He revealed the true separation between God and man and between man and man. Sin separated God from man, but Christ is the separation between man and man. Remember, Christ is that stumbling block. He came to give life to all men and to give it more abundantly. But when he returns, his judgment will be swift, as in a thief in the night. As in the days of Lot. As in the days of Noah. Men will be eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage. Then comes the destruction in the twinkle of an eye at the last trump. Christ will descend with his angels, and all will be raised. There will be no bartering. There will be no pleading. There will be no acquittals. The Lord of lords and the King of kings, will return with vengeance and wrath. His sickle will be sharp and true. There will be none that is excluded nor escapes. His measuring scales will be well balanced. When Christ returns, all will see him as the lightning is seen from the east to the west. So shall a thief come in the night. Swift judgment will be duly processed. Those whose robes have been washed in the blood, they will be on his right hand. And those who are of the wicked one, they will be on his left. There will be no mingling of the lines. Like what Brother Tim brought out the other night. There's no blurred vision in God's sight. All will be manifested. All will be seen. There will be no I talked about that. The holy, holy, holy God will be seen in all of his glory and wonder. And this will be such a dreadful day for those of the earth. For Amen. Those who are not of Christ, this will be a dreadful day.
Amen.
And those who are of Christ, this is our final day.
Amen.
This will be the fullness of him who is coming as a thief in the night. When Christ returns, I'll get to that in a minute. When Christ returns, his intentions are to glorify the Father. That's his intentions. To glorify the Father and to deliver up the kingdom to God. Then, at this time, God will be all in all. All will be made anew, a new heaven and a new earth. And these are all according to God's promises. Yes, there will be an eternal destruction on those who are not His. But we must remember, they refused that which was given. They didn't want Christ in this world. They will not have Christ in the next. They did not want to partake of His true, ultimate, heavenly goodness here. They will not partake of it then.
That's right. Amen.
Oh, what blindness the God of this world has placed upon them that believe not. They refused the precious blood that was poured out for them. In closing, let us remember that there are three critical timestamps in all of time. The fall of man, the sacrifice of the Lamb of God, and the Lamb's return.
Amen.
All of these have to do with God's sovereignty, with God's righteousness, with His justice, mercy, and grace. All three of these timestamps are critical elements for our faith. We must believe in all three that we are prepared and not be caught unawares. You've got to believe in all of these things that God has done. In fact, we are to talk of these things continually and encourage one another with these words. This is so that our faith is increased and that we are urged to anticipate even the more the day of His return. when Christ returns, he will have with himself all the promises of God that were afar off. Brother Eric had a great leading into this. Everything that God had promised, Christ is going to bring with him. He will have the final stroke to those who oppose God. And he will have redemption and full completeness for those who love him. Those who endure until the end, the same shall be saved. And blessed is the man whom, when his Lord returns, when his Lord cometh, shall find him doing. Shall find him doing his Lord's business. If we are continually ready for his return, then there is no need to write of the specific times and seasons of his return. If we are ready, then those times are irrelevant. In fact, we are waiting. We want those times to come quickly. So come quickly, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
So come quickly,
Amen.
Lord Jesus. And let me leave us with one last verse. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ.
Amen.
During this patient waiting, we are preparing. This is preparing our hearts for that day of his return. Is there any questions or comments or corrections? Brother Al.
It's very good, Brother Mike. Coming as a thief in the night, as you well pointed out, is going to have an effect on the ungodly and on the redeemed. He's going to come as a thief. We'll put it in the language of Scripture. He's going to rob ungodly men of those things that they were inordinately attached to in this world. Mm-hmm. He's going to just take it away, and it'll be gone. But in the case of the saints, of the people of God, he's going to disencumber them. See, because we didn't want them anyhow.
Yep.
It's not going to be like stealing from us. It's going to be like a disencumbrance.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to disencumber us, and he's going to steal from them.
Amen. Yes, very good. Bird, Pat.
Yeah, I was thinking about this association as a thief. And remember when in the days of Malachi, the question came up, would a man rob God? And they said, how we rob you? But it's the taking of that which is his and the not giving to him that which he purchased. And that's really what ungodly people are doing now. They've rejected the Son of God and have kept, used their own bodies, their own lives, which have been purchased by the Lamb
mm-hmm.
at a price
mm-hmm.
and using them for their own glory. That's going to be taken.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
That which he and he's redeemed, that which he's purchased.
The reward is with them now. This is their reward. This time in an ungodly person's life is the best time they're ever going to have.
Amen.
And this time in a godly man's life is the worst time we're ever going to have.
Amen.
Yes, Nathan.
I was struck with, you got into the part where you're saying it's very good. You're saying, you'll be faced with the holy, holy, holy God. And I was thinking, I don't know, for some reason it was going off in my head about the high priest, if they didn't have a sacrifice for their sin, they would die in the Holy of Holies. And when you brought up Moses, and he said, no man can look on me and live. And so he had to hide him in the cleft of the rock. And just thinking about, how dreadful it would be without a covering, without a wedding garment in that day, because sin can't, without the covering of Christ, you can't look on God and live.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's not a thought that is brought up so much about the holiness of God and what it would mean to stand there, because without a covering, or in a dreaded case, many will be there, I suppose. But it's not.
We have had that perfect sacrifice given for us. So now we are able to come boldly to the throne room of God. So now we're not coming to Mount Sinai anymore. Now we're able to come to Mount Zion because of that perfect sacrifice. It was nothing in what we did. Remember the high priests, they weren't clean within themselves. They had to cleanse themselves before they entered into the holiest of holies. And yes, they had to come in with a sacrifice. Our sacrifice has been given by Christ. We're not, and this whole time, this is faith. This is our faith in what Christ has done for us. And now we're able to go to God. Yes, Brother Tim.
I appreciated the thought about the Israelites being ready to go out.
Yeah.
They didn't have to go rippling through their closets. We want to be all packed up.
Mm-hmm.
All packed up and ready to go.
Yeah. In the account that...
open the door immediately when he comes.
In the account in Matthew 24, I think it is, when Jesus is talking about this, he says, don't go back for your clothes. You be ready. When we are ushered in to the heavenly realm, we are going to be clothed upon with Christ, so we are not found naked.
Amen.
We don't have to go back and get our addendments that we made, what we think we need. All we need is Christ.
He said the people of God were always warned. Always warned. And then they came and he said, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? I was just thinking, the people of God would move with fear. They were always warned. They were told, prepare.
Mm-hmm. This is a preparation. This is a preparation day.
The account that you had from, I think it's Matthew 24, I see a promise there. There's a... in the record, it says that no man knoweth the day nor the hour,
mm-hmm.
except the Father in heaven. He's like the goodman of the house. He will not suffer that house to be broken up.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. He'll have us. He'll be ready.
He's the watchman.
He's the watchman,
isn't
he? Right. Yeah.
Brother Mike. I appreciated that the reference to the watchman. Think about the watchman. They're provisions of God for the safety of the people. They were on the watch to keep the people safe.
Amen.
And that provision of God has not gone away. I think about the ministers that come up, like you, brother. You came up at this was your watch.
Mm-hmm.
This was the time of your watch, and you brought to us this matter of be prepared, be ready.
Amen.
Jesus is coming again. So I appreciate for your time on the wall, brother.
Amen.
We are our brother's keeper. We truly are. Yes, sister. But again, you got to remember the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not. And it's got to be God that draws them. It's the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation. So you preach Christ, and allow that to work in the hearts. Brother Ricky.
Yeah, I'm thankful you distinguish between the work of an unrighteous youth and the work of Jesus. In that when Jesus comes back, he simply is going to take what belongs to him in the first place.
Exactly.
That's a great comfort to my heart. When you think of the world, we so often associate it with wickedness and wicked men.
Mm-hmm.
The world doesn't belong to men. Nothing in it does.
Amen.
Everything you have from God. Your wife, your husband, your children, your things. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof.
Amen.
And in his coming, he's simply going to take back what belongs to him, and it will never again be used for unrighteousness. So I think of hymns like, this is my Father's world. It's something we have to remind ourselves of. They are not going to be able to keep what belongs to God and continue to use it for unrighteousness.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
He's going to take it from them. I'm greatly comforted by that consideration. I thank you for bringing that up.
Amen.
I thank you all for your praying. This was, I mentioned it to a couple of brethren, this was tough for me putting this together. There was a lot of, Satan put up a lot of hedges, but God redeemed it. God redeemed the time. He gave me this to encourage one another. I thank you all for your prayers.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Mike.
Well, thank you for your attention.
Take a break now.